Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Fourth and final hour underway on this Tuesday morning. Nick, Dawn, Greg, as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210. Morning mystery movie clip coming up at 9:20. Cut sheet part due at the bottom of the hour. What's on tap for the Dawn Show today in music history? Who on Twitter today? All still on the way. Just saw some breaking news on Fox News here in the studio, as riot police have now arrested more than 100 protesters at NYU. So looks like more and more people being told that it's time to go home, and you're going to go to jail, and we're going to book you, and we're going to fingerprint you, and we're going to mugshot you, which I think is the right approach. Again, we've been talking a lot about this the last couple of days, the big take this morning on what happened and is still going on at Columbia. Some of the footage they're showing from Monday night now on Fox, it looks like there's like a tractor trailer on fire. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. I mean, this legitimately looks like, if not hundreds, maybe a few thousand people.
Yeah, they had flares going
on. Yeah, flares.
So this is not, these are not peaceful protests, but we just want to point out these campuses, police can't just show up and stand there to protect the students who are being threatened and intimidated. They have to be called in.
Right.
And so the campus administrations have to choose to call police and call the authorities, who are more than happy to come in and keep the peace before it escalates.
Yeah. We talked earlier this morning. I read you the statement from the owner of the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft, boycotting his alma mater, which is Columbia. Looks like he was on with Hannity last night. Might be worth pulling a clip or two of that. And I'm seeing some of these videos, too. These tent camps all over the campus. It looks like students camping out the night before, like a big football game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unbelievable. Or, it's going on everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's not just the Ivy Leagues, folks. I know they get all the attention, but I'd be willing to bet this is happening out on the West Coast, at the Cal Berkeleys of the world, the Stanfords of the world, UCLA. We'll get to a UCLA DEI story, another plagiarist coming up later in the show. So
this is going to end badly. I'm telling you, saying this. This is going to end badly. I don't want it to, but it's
percolating, right?
It's escalating. This is a powder keg. Yes, exactly. That is going to. There's going to be a tipping point, and it's going to be ugly when it happens.
You're right. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. So there was a lot of outrage last week because Caitlin Clark was the first pick in the WNBA draft, and a lot of left-wing advocates in sports media were saying, man, we really need to fix this wage gap. Females are not appropriately compensated for their skill in basketball, because Caitlin Clark got a four-year rookie contract for $388,000. She's going to average somewhere in the $80,000 range per year for just about 4 years. And I told you she was going to kill it with endorsements. And the first one has just come in, as Caitlin Clark inks an eight-year deal with Nike worth up to $28 million. I'm wondering if that will appease those out there who wanted to rush to judgment and jump the gun and totally, negate the way the market works, the way economics work, the way supply and demand works, and realize that she's going to make $28 million from Nike. She'll end up with a Gatorade deal. She'll end up on a cereal box and on down the list of every other possible thing that you can imagine. And she will probably end up making well over $100 million in endorsements. And her salary will just be gas money for her for the rest of her life. According to the Wall Street Journal, she got an eight-year deal worth $28 million. And there was a lot of bidding going on for her services. There were other companies like Under Armour and Adidas that were involved. And ultimately, Nike backed up the Brinks truck and said, you're worth it. We're going to give you 8 years, $28 million, which is about $3.5 million per year. And she will have her own signature shoe. But did you know that that's racist?
What?
That is correct. Mike Freeman, who I actually used to work with 10 years ago when I was with Bleacher Report and Turner Sports, Mike Freeman is a race-baiting, talented writer. He used to cover the NFL for Bleacher Report. I never really thought he knew a darn thing about football, but he was a good writer. He now works for the USA Today. And Stocker, do you recall yesterday, I think you were bringing it up in the cut sheet, somebody had some absurd race and equality title for some position that they held, and you were like talking about how absurd some of these job description titles are.
Yes, it was the reporter for 6ABC.
Yes.
Dawn knows better than I do. So I don't want to speak. I got a lot of trouble for a few things I said yesterday. So I am going to say yes. There's a reporter at 6ABC.
Okay.
Let's just say that.
So Mike Freeman now writes for the USA Today, which nobody really reads anymore. But his job title is the race and inequality editor in sports. So the USA Today actually in their sports department dedicates an entire position to race and inequality in sports, to which Mike Freeman writes that it is ridiculous that Caitlin Clark gets her own shoe. The column titled, "No Black WNBA Players Have a Signature Shoe." Here's why that's a gigantic problem. That's the name of the headline for the story. And it focuses on the fact that Las Vegas Aces star Asia Wilson does not have her own signature shoe. And it's a totally fair talking point given that Wilson is a two-time WNBA champion, a two-time league MVP, a five-time All-Star, and an Olympic gold medalist. So you just look at the accolades that I rattled off. Now, I don't know who Asia Wilson is, but she looks like she's probably one of the best players in the league. Why she doesn't have a shoe deal, not really sure. But I can tell you this, Caitlin Clark is the greatest women's college basketball player that ever lived. Even though Dawn will not acknowledge her and says she prefers Pistol Pete, because Pistol Pete didn't have the three-point line back in the day, which is actually a really good point, because if he did, Pistol Pete might have scored like 60 points a game. But she's the most decorated women's basketball player of all time. And Nike made the calculated decision that she is worth $28 million because they probably computed that she will generate well above $28 million in return on their investment. Caitlin Clark is going to sell a ton of basketball shoes to little girls, white, black, straight, bisexual, gay, throughout the United States that love basketball, or maybe they don't even really love basketball, but they're into trendy things. And Caitlin Clark right now is the it girl. She is the most recognizable female, short of probably Taylor Swift, in the United States right now in sports, entertainment, and pop culture. So Nike said, you know what? This is a sound investment. And they're probably going to make money hand over fist with her value. So, of course, you have people, and you knew this was going to happen. You just knew it. Like, Caitlin Clark, I don't think she's ever said or done anything to ruffle anyone's feathers, right? She's quiet. She goes about her business. She's unbelievably gifted. She's an assassin. She's a quiet killer on the basketball court. This girl has had to deal with so much garbage from the media. Like, I very rarely do I feel bad for millionaires, but I don't think that she signed up for this. Nor do I think that she deserves to be like the hit piece material, bulletin board material for people like Jemele Hill and Mike Freeman that literally build their entire platform of content around pointing out racial injustice. Is Caitlin Clark doing anything wrong? No. The market dictates what you get. And Nike looked at the market, and Nike knows a thing or two about shoes. But I would say this, if you think Caitlin Clark is getting it because she's white and other WNBA players that are not white should have a shoe deal, well, let me flip the script for you. Let's go to the NBA. How many guys in the NBA that are black have sneaker deals? A lot of them. Mm-hmm. How many guys in the NBA that are white have sneaker deals? Probably not a ton because there's not a lot of white NBA basketball players. I think it's right, roughly 75-80% of the league is not white. It is what it is. It's not racism. I'm not sitting here saying white players are being, screwed over because, they should have a shoe deal. If you are great, you get a shoe deal, right? Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, LeBron James. Not everybody has a sneaker endorsement. I got news for you. There's, I don't know, in the NBA, I think there's like 12 guys on each team. There's 30 guys. Do the math. What is that? We'll go close to 400 players. There's probably 13 or 14 guys out of 400 that have a sneaker deal. It's not racism. It's called the open market. I'm so done with these people with everything through the prism of race. But we got to give Angel Reese a little bit of credit. She comes out, and Angel Reese was the power forward for LSU and their national championship team. She came out yesterday and tweeted on X, protect young women in sports, to which I would be very interested to see what her mentions and replies are like, because we know this is overwhelmingly the popular opinion in America that we should be protecting women in sports, biological females. But when you tweet that, you know you open yourself up to the left-wing vocal minority. But it will be interesting to see if they come after Angel Reese because she is African-American. Again, identity politics always at play here. And I think we need more people like Angel Reese or more people like Caitlin Clark. We have prominent female athletes right now that are honestly getting more media coverage than I can ever recall, and rightfully so. These women are incredibly talented. I'd like to see more of them use this as an opportunity to stand up for their biological gender and protect their sports. And nobody's going to cancel Caitlin Clark. She's making millions. She's not going to get touched.
Yeah, I think Bill Burr is so funny in his bit about this, because he says, like, we gave you a league. None of you showed up. We're all the feminists.
Right.
Go,
right.
You know, all the women, all the feminists, go to the WNBA.
Uh-huh.
Go to the games.
Yeah.
So he's pretty funny about
it. Well, no, he is funny, but it's true, because the reality is, you know, there are some women that watch that sport, but it's actually, there's a lot of men, believe it or not, that watch it and also attend the games or bring their daughters or bring their wife. So again, you know, if you're a feminist and you think that the WNBA players are being slighted in salary, well, then do more to make their value higher.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the games longer, watch them more often, aka ratings. Ratings generate revenue. And then, oh, by the way, you get a more expensive and more lucrative TV deal. Go to the game, sell out the arenas, and then all of a sudden, when you're filling it up 18,000 strong at an arena like the Wells Fargo Center, instead of, I don't know, whatever the WNBA average attendance is, I have no idea. I mean, 3,500 or whatever it is on a given night. Well, there's a reason why you get paid $88,000, because your league hasn't generated and turned a profit in 3 decades.
Where are the women?
Right.
You know, the reason that the NFL is so popular is, I mean, men and women, but I don't know, when you look at the audiences, I think it's mostly male audiences that propel men's sports, right?
Yeah.
And women too. But I think for the WNBA, it's ridiculous to call this out, for women to call it out. Women, come forward. Go.
Yeah, I think men can only do so much in this battle to protect biological women in sports, right? Like, exactly. we can only say so much, and then we get slandered and ridiculed and ripped on social media. Sadly, I think it's a vocal majority of females that just have to say, you know what? No, I don't. You can come after my job. You can threaten me. You can fire me. I'll take one for the team. Now, you're talking about 100 years of progress that you're just going to wipe out with silence? I wouldn't stand by and let it happen.
Yeah, and if you're the WNBA, try to get Taylor Swift to do a halftime performance.
Well,
you know, go to the...
but what was basketball like in the 1830s, Dawn? I don't want to trigger the woke outrage mob and get them coming after Taylor Swift.
But seriously, why don't they give out some free stuff or get people excited about the games? You know what I mean? Just... what are they doing with their marketing to gain their audience?
Phil just checked in on our group text. He's a WNBA beat reporter. He said the average attendance for 2023 in the WNBA is 6,600 a night. How about that? I was off by, again, I'm always off with the numbers, aren't I? What did I say? The average attendance is 3,500. It's actually almost double that, 6,600 per night. By the way, Phil, does New York have a WNBA team, and do you root for them? That would be my next question. 855-839-1210. Phil's in his glory right now. He really is. He's got his UConn basketball team. He's got his Knicks beating our Sixers. I don't know how this guy got on this show. Anywho, all right, here we go. Last story, and I do think this is kind of interesting because, again, after 3.5 years, they're trying to figure Kamala Harris out. I would just say this. If after 3.5 years in any job, in any profession, if your bosses can't figure out what you bring to the table, you probably would have been fired 2 years ago. But Kamala Harris is still this mystery to some of the Democrats. And some of the Democrats, and the DNC specifically, they really don't understand why she's not accepted more by the mainstream. And I think she is accepted by mainstream media. But the polling numbers are not indicative of the way that the left will prop her up. So the Democratic National Committee has now conducted focus groups on Vice President Kamala Harris. That, according to a new CNN report. I remember my old radio boss, he had like a listener panel come in, and he had everybody kind of, he bought pizza and soda for everybody, and these listeners were like, well, here's what I like about this show, and here's what I like about this show. And I'm like,
What a bad idea that is.
If you don't know the strengths and weaknesses of your lineup, that's probably on you as a boss. But I bit my tongue. So this DNC ends up with a focus group, according to CNN, to understand why voters do not like Kamala Harris. And here are some of the findings, courtesy of the Daily Mail story. Some voters in the focus group said that they did not like Harris, specifically citing her laugh. So that is something that we have obviously played and illustrated on this show many times. Others questioned whether Biden even likes her. And we know that, you know, when Kamala had presidential aspirations, she basically called Joe a racist. So I think Joe said, you know what, if I have a female African-American VP, that's going to help me get elected in 2020, hence their partnership. Harris's approval rating continues to rest somewhere in the mid-30s, according to polls, a historic low for the modern vice presidency, as she spent the first 3 years in office struggling with bad headlines. But some Democratic voters said Harris is actually better than Biden at talking about abortion, guns, student loans, and the Israeli war in Gaza. So I do think they found the wheelhouse for her, and it's abortion. Mm-hmm. I really don't think if you're a Democrat and you're a female VP, you could possibly screw up the abortion message. But I've said this in the past. The one area where I think she really would have done well, if we weren't living in this defund the police movement era, Kamala Harris on crime, if the Biden administration was actually about law and order, which they are not as a policy, but if they were, she would have been in her wheelhouse. As a former prosecutor in San Francisco, she locked everybody up.
Yeah.
She, I mean, when her time in San Francisco was the equivalent of DeSantis as the governor in Florida or Trump uttering, we need to get back to law and order. If you committed a crime and Kamala Harris was the prosecutor, there was not plea bargains. There was no mitigating factors. You were going to jail and they dropped the ball. So if I was advising them on a reboot and a redo and you could redo these last 3.5 years, I would have had her front and center for crime.
It's not a coincidence, guys, that they're bringing her out front and center in all of these important issues, because if Joe Biden wins re-election, she's going to be president.
Oh, there's no doubt. I would bet that.
They're preparing her for that. That is exactly what is happening.
Do you think they're scared, though?
They are preparing Kamala Harris to be president of the United States.
Do you think they are scared if you were to say to them, a vote for Joe Biden means a vote for Kamala Harris as president? Because that's the reality. Like, if you were to place a bet today and I said, if Joe Biden is reelected, is it more likely than not that Joe dies in office in his second term? I think more people would say yes than no. If you're the Republicans right now, if you're Trump, that should be a campaign message. A vote for Joe Biden is a vote for Kamala Harris for maybe 2.5 or 3 years of a presidency. And that should scare the you-know-what out of people. I would use that as a fear tactic if I'm Trump in a campaign message or any of his super PACs.
I know she was in Wisconsin, La Crosse, Wisconsin yesterday. And on her, this is her, you know, she's had multiple visits to Wisconsin, but she was talking about, abortion and visiting nursing homes. Yep. And today, as far as Biden, he is in Tampa, Florida, talking abortion.
They are giving her the spotlight front and center to be the next president of the United States.
And she tweeted out, elections matter, organizing matters, mm-hmm. your voice matters. It's one of her tweets.
All right. 855-839-1210. Oh, I've got Venn diagrams all day.
I love Venn diagrams.
It's right there. Right at the disposal of my middle finger. Boom. Just touch it like that. All right. 922. Let's get to our morning mystery movie clip.
And now, the morning mystery movie clip on Kalen Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, it's a good one.
Meet Mary Jane.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Yo, we want to burn one.
No. This is Mary Jane. Meet her. Say hello to her. Shake her hand, even.
Oh, my fault. What's up, Mary?
Hi.
All right.
Hey. Listen, do you guys need a ride? I have a car. You don't have to take the subway.
Ah, you smoke?
No, my grandmother died of lung cancer.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, that's all the more reason to toke up, man. Ease the pain.
What I'm talking about.
You know, I think what they're really trying to say is that we love a ride home.
Think you know what it is? Then call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
Once again today, you will win a pair of tickets to the Down and Derby Wine Festival featuring Secret Service Band on May 4th from 2 to 7 p.m. at Veterans Island at Cooper River Park in Pensauken, New Jersey. Sample delicious wines from South Jersey's best wineries and enjoy live music, performers, food trucks, fun, and games. Must be 21 or older to attend. Caller 12 855-839-1210. See if we get our winner on the other side. Kalen Company, back after this. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is a critical time of year to think about your home. You've heard me talk about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. I love the work they've done in my home to make my home more beautiful, more energy efficient. And you know by now, if I needed windows, doors, or siding, I would trust the Chapman team, right? But you might not think of Chapman right away for things like siding and stucco remediation. I would trust nobody else with this important investment in your home. So if you're thinking of updating your current siding, or maybe you need to remove your current stucco, this is a huge issue. It's a huge job. You want to think of the professionals who are the certified Chapman installers. They are the ones you want on this job. And also think about updating it with James Hardie Plank, or maybe that beautiful vinyl siding. It's going to add value. It's going to boost your home's energy efficiency as well, beauty, value, all of the above. If you or somebody you know are looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, all the hardware choices, stucco remediation, give Chapman a call. You can text them. They're like-minded. They're listening right now. 610-431-8898. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. They're local right here in Chester County. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
9 o'clock hour brought to you by United Tire. With all the driving around you do this spring, make sure you take care of your car. Schedule an appointment at United Tire, from new tires to oil changes to state inspections. The skilled technicians at United Tire, they are here to help. Visit UnitedTire.com. Jason is in Collingswood. He's our morning mystery movie clip winner this morning. Jason, what movie clip did we just play for you, buddy?
That was Half-Baked, man.
That was Half-Baked, yeah. I think Anthony DiRenzo was fully baked this past Saturday on 420,
it's
by
true.
The way.
It's true.
Congratulations, Jason. You win the winery festival tickets.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jason in Collingswood, our winner today.
Yeah.
Three more pairs to give out on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. One of the all-time great movies, by the way. You know, we should get back on. I was just thinking of speaking with Half-Baked.
What?
We'd love to get Jim Brewer back in here again.
Yeah, he does.
He's pretty funny.
Yeah, he does his own podcast now. So, like, he only comes on when he wants to promote, like, a...
Has he got any tours or shows coming
like
up that
a
he
show
can pick?
He wants to do here in Philly. So.
Yeah, like talk to him again. It was a good get last time.
We
had him, right?
To him. We did. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I thought so.
All yeah. Right. It was one of the first things we videoed.
That's true. That was that was back when we posted videos just on Instagram, right?
Yep.
Yeah, my, how we have evolved. All right, 9:33 on this Tuesday morning. Let's get to What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
Part 2. What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2, sponsored by Budget Blinds. Spring is here, and now is the time to budget. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation. And the only no-questions-asked warranty in the business. Budgetblinds.com. That's budgetblinds.com. Dawn Stenson, I need you to put on your journalist hat for a second. Is it tight?
Okay, it's tied up. Is my bonnet.
Your journalist hat is nice and tight on. Okay.
Smart.
This is from KTLA in Los Angeles, Channel 5, the news station out there. A woman was fatally stabbed in the subway in Los Angeles. When describing said suspect, you want to be as descriptive as possible, because this person stabbed and killed somebody and is still on the loose, right? So you want to make sure that this person is apprehended. Is that correct on Sensland?
Yes, sir.
Cut 22, Phil, if you will. Let's hear the report from KTLA in Los Angeles about this fatal stabbing. Cut 22, go.
Victim stabbed in the throat. The ambulance was called and the woman was treated by paramedics, but no word on the extent of her injuries or her condition right now. As for the suspect, police say it was a man carrying two bags. We don't have any other description at this point. In the video, we can see some clothing on the floor, but it's unclear what that was about.
A man with two bags.
A man who was carrying two bags. Was it a white man? Was it a black man?
Was it
an Asian man?
What was he wearing?
What was he wearing?
Yeah.
What color was his hair? Did he have a hood on?
Was he wearing a mask?
That's all they want to give us?
It's just media bias by omission is my guess, but I'm not the journalist.
I will tell you that newsrooms across the country,
yeah,
and I'll say this happened, I don't know, at some point in the maybe the mid-90s or late 90s.
Great time.
Where
great time to be alive.
Everybody got the memo where if the description of a suspect is too nondescript, if it's just a black man in a hoodie, don't say it because it's too generic and thus you are incriminating every black man in a hoodie.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's too generic, but saying it's a man carrying two bags isn't generic? Like, what?
That's just stupid.
I mean, can you imagine trying to look for this guy? You're the police. You're like, oh, what's the description? He's got two bags. I mean, I'd be willing to bet there's a lot of people in L.A. walking around carrying two bags.
I'm telling you, Dawn is too kind to say this, and she likes to stick up for her friends in the news business, and I think that's very admirable of you. But we are hamstringing ourselves as a society in the hopes of political correctness.
Yes.
Because we don't want to offend anybody by saying it was a black man or it was a white man or it was a Hispanic man. We don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, we're more worried about people's feelings than the victim who just got assaulted.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's bizarro world.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. You should always be consistent.
Yeah.
So if she always reports how many bags the suspect has, then I guess that's her thing, you know? But what they're trying to do sometimes is jump through hoops to not say a gender, to not say whatever. But trust me, if it's a white guy with a MAGA, with a red MAGA hat, they're saying it.
Of course they are.
Even though that's a general description of, millions of American men.
Right.
So to me, I think the more important piece of this is be consistent. If you don't have a great description, then don't give it. But you can certainly give the height, the age range, some kind of ethnic description, a hat, a tattoo, something.
Yeah.
Jesus writes, did they assume the stabber's gender? Well, that's a very good point.
See?
Very good point. Just assuming it's a male.
Could be a woman.
Make sure you get their pronouns correct.
You don't know how they identify.
Maybe it identifies as something else.
Could end up court-martialed.
You are correct.
It's a double bagger. That's all we know.
I love a double bagger. God
damn. Dawn.
Sorry.
I want my Nick, Dawn, and Greg. That's going to live in infamy, isn't it?
Pretty much. It's in the rotation.
Cut 23 here, Phil. So this was reported by NBC Nightly News last night about Chinese migrants crossing over the southern border 3 years ago compared to last year.
Okay.
All right.
Yep. So 21 versus 23.
20. Yes. This is cut. Or maybe it was 20. I'm okay. Not sure. This is. No, 21. You're correct. This is cut 23. Phil, go.
3 years ago, 689 Chinese migrants crossed the southern border. Last year, that number soared to over 37,000. Part of an explosion of migrants coming here from all over the globe. Currently, most migrants are released into the U.S. to wait, often years, for asylum hearings. Critics say that encourages migrants to come, and President Biden should change course through executive action.
689 to 37,000.
Yeah, that seems like a significant surge. I don't even think we could classify that as an uptick. I mean, less than 1,000 and now 37,000. And how many times have we said this when we've looked at the video where Fox News is showing the lines of people and guys like Bill Malusian are positioned outside on the border? You have not only people from South America and Mexico, the Middle East, China, around the globe. And, you know, I keep hearing, well, they're seeking refuge and their families. They look like a lot of 18 to 30-year-old military-age men.
100%. You are 100% correct. And why all of a sudden now are they coming? You know what I mean?
Right.
And you know what else? I'm pretty sure that if I traveled hundreds or thousands of miles, I wouldn't come across the border with these brand-new-looking clothes.
Yeah.
And this is before they do get new clothes once they cross it.
Mm-hmm.
But even when you see them and they're coming across before they get, you know, FEMA, get, you know, American tax dollars, give them all the new clothes. Doesn't it look like they have all brand new stuff it's really clean?
The media makes it like out to be like, well, they're coming here with ripped T-shirts and shredded jeans and they're impoverished and they haven't eaten and had clean water. They look like they're coming from a camping trip.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're very... I mean, they're very tidy.
Yes.
If they have walked, you know, through mud and brush and all this,
crawled across razor wire,
and yet nothing's ripped. They look very clean cut, clean shaven. So it's kind of an amazing feat. My teenagers can't go to school and come back looking.
And he's like, what? Stain on their shirt.
My husband comes home in his suit. I was like, what are you, rolling around in the park before you get home?
Larry's got spaghetti sauce on his shirt.
Yeah, it's all like oil. What did you do? So these illegals, they're very tidy people, I guess. Yeah. So,
yeah.
News over the weekend that RFK Jr. Managed to get on the ballot in Michigan. We know how much of a swing state of Michigan is. There was an NBC poll over the weekend that shows that RFK Jr. actually takes more away from Trump than he does Biden. But we've seen other polls that suggest the opposite. Nobody really knows, to be honest with you. I saw a very good breakdown by The Hill, who was like, does he take more from Trump or Biden? And everybody's like, yes, both.
Yeah.
It's basically nobody knows. It's a toss-up.
Mm-hmm.
Gavin Newsom was on Inside with Jen Psaki.
With.
Is very important on Sunday.
The with is little,
and he said getting RFK Jr. getting on the ballot in Michigan is a consequential one.
Mm-hmm.
This is cut. Where are we, Phil? Cut 9. Go.
And so I'm a little concerned about the overindulgence around the day to day. I get it. I totally get it. The consequential nature of a criminal trial is profound and outsized in some respect, but not more outsized than democracy, more outsized than Dobbs and the consequences of him prevailing in this election in November, nor more outsized perhaps on what I thought was one of the biggest stories of the week. And that's Robert Kennedy Jr. getting on the ballot in Michigan, a consequential one of the 7 key swing states. So I tend to be in that camp. A little less is more as it relates to our obsession and focus on putting any more bright lights on someone who seeks them, no matter how ill-conceived or ill-will and ill-fated his current standing might be.
So let me ask you about the electoral politics of this, as you just referenced. I mean, RFK Jr. is now going to be on the ballot in Michigan. That's a swing state. President needs to win. Anyone winning needs to win. Obviously, he just got the endorsement of a number of Kennedys this week, members of the Kennedy family. But how worried are you about the potential impact of RFK Jr. on President Biden's reelection chances?
He's a Kennedy. We revere Kennedys. At least I do. I, you know, my hero is Bobby Kennedy. There's a bust, President Biden, right behind President Bobby, President Biden of Bobby Kennedy. That's real. I mean, it's real. And I know we can look at some polls and suggest, well, here it may impact a little less. But look, at the end of the day, common sense would dictate it's real. Jill Stein is real. Cornel West is real. We know that. Those were determinative, those third party, in these last elections. 44,000 votes in those three swing states. Now we've got seven potentially in play. Georgia and North Carolina, we know, are going to be perhaps a little more tough than they've been in the past, but we're making a great case. Pennsylvania, the president's a masterclass of focus on Pennsylvania. And then we go to these other states like Wisconsin. I think we have a great shot there. And then these last three, Michigan and the two that I'm referring to today, and that's Nevada and Arizona, where I'm putting all my time and energy and focus. And abortion, I think, will play an outsized role. But Bobby Kennedy Jr., if he gets on more than just that one critical swing state of Michigan and gets on the ballot in some of these others, I think you have to take that very, very seriously.
He'll definitely be a factor. And I think, specifically speaking about just Michigan, I think RFK being on the ballot in Michigan hurts Biden more, because Biden already had a Michigan problem with Dearborn and the Arab Muslim American community. Now you throw in Kennedy as an alternative to Biden for those in Michigan that don't want to vote Trump or might sit it out. I think it works more against Biden specifically in that state. All right, that'll do it for What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2. We'll come back, wrap it up, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show today in music history, and who won Twitter today. It's all still ahead, back after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, as we get ready to wrap up a Tuesday. Tony Bruno tomorrow at 8:30, but before then, the Dawn Show in 9 minutes, and we find out what she has lined up for the top of the hour.
Yeah, so I can't help it. I'll poke a little fun at our DA Larry Krasner, because I just can't resist this one. He gives us so much fodder as he does his poor, weird math. Arrest warrant issue.
We've established 2 + 2 = 4, -1 = 3.
Jeez.
There you go.
So we'll talk about that and the serious nature of the situation with our primary election. What Democrats, what is their long-term goal by the year 2030? And I'm not talking climate change, so I'll get into that a bit as well. We've got at 10:05, Peter Rykowski. He's a research associate and writer for The New American. He's going to join me and talk about the state of funding taxpayers, billions of dollars of aid for Israel and Ukraine. We're talking about the $95 billion aid package. They're supposed to make it official today, Biden promising to sign this thing. What does it really mean for all of us? And there's some new numbers. What's the average amount of money you need to earn to just pay your bills and, you know, break even? And then, of course, coming up at 10:30, great interview with some of the local moms in Montgomery County, North Penn. We've got a protest that's actually underway right now. And this is a very serious story with political ramifications on this primary election day.
All right. Dawn Show coming up in about 7 minutes as we get to, I can't even imagine what Phil has lined up for today. Here we go. Today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. History on Kale and Company.
Today, Tuesday, April 23rd. We celebrate the birthdays of Johnny Thunders of the New York Dolls, Steve Clark of Def Leppard, Glenn Cornick of Jethro Tull, Roy Orbison, and actually my dad. So happy birthday, Dad. Albums include Black and Blue by the Stones, as well as the Ramones debut from 76, and Sticky Fingers by the Stones in 71. Division Bell by Floyd hit number one on this day in 94.
Nice.
Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners hits number one in 83. And U2 kicked off their War North American tour on this day as well in 83. Maiden's Seventh Son of a Seventh Son hit number one in England in 88. And lastly, on this day in 2005, YouTube actually launched and eventually became the most popular place to hear music for free, including Elvis and Cher. Or Kale and Company, I'm Phil Lundquist.
Also where you can hear and watch Kale and Company, by the way.
Thank you very much.
On YouTube.
That was good.
Surprised he didn't slip in a little sports commentary with his Knicks up 2-0 on the Sixers, but maybe we'll get that tomorrow.
So YouTube was invented today or came out today? Or
19 what? Years ago.
Wow.
How about that? Time flies. All right.
Pretty cool.
Let's get to who won Twitter today.
Who won Twitter?
Richard Notaro wins Twitter. He says, doesn't Greg Sacher know that grass seed should be spread over the lawn in September?
Thank you.
What kind of farmer is he? Also, do not plant anything in the ground until Mother's Day.
Well put.
Everything comes full circle. I said that at 6:02 this morning. So it's and at 9:54 it comes full circle.
That's how we wrap it up. All right. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. Make sure you get out and vote for whatever it is you're voting for. And we'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. Tony Bruno at 8:30. As the great John Fetterman would say, as he's calling people a-holes for protesting in Starbucks.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.